Hey friends, did you know that you can come hang out with me in real life? That's right. The Work In Podcast and Savage Grace Coaching makes its home in a boutique studio space called The Loft Yoga and Wellness in historic downtown Spring Valley, Ohio. This hidden gem of the Miami Valley is nestled in between Dayton, Columbus, and Cincinnati. As a part of my mission to bring a legacy of resilience through movement, each month you can join me for a hike on the bike trail, followed by a free trauma-informed vinyasa class back at the studio on Main Street. Go to savagegracecoaching.com to see the calendar and join my newsletter, A Yoga Life on Main Street, to stay up to date on all the latest studio news, events, and gossip. And now, on to this week's episode. It's time to stop working out and start working in. You found the Work In Podcast for fitpreneurs and their health-conscious clients. This podcast is for resilient wellness professionals who want to expand their professional credibility, shake off stress, and thrive in a burnout-proof career, with conversations on the fitness industry, movement, nutrition, sleep, mindset, nervous system health, yoga, business, and so much more. I'm your host, Erica Thomas. I'm a resilience coach and fitpreneur offering an authentic, actionable, realistic approach to personal and professional balance for coaches in any format. The Work In is brought to you by Savage Grace Coaching, bringing resilience through movement, action, and accountability. Private sessions, small groups, and corporate presentations are available now. Visit savagegracecoaching.com to schedule a call and get all the details. Hi there, everyone, and welcome back to The Work In. Trauma-informed. It sounds good on a resume, but that term isn't well understood by the general public, and it's been diluted by the wellness community, by the clickbait, quick buck certifications out there. There's an assumption that because yoga is often recommended for things like PTSD, chronic pain, anxiety, and depression, that any and all yoga must be trauma-informed, and that is simply not true. Today on The Work In, we're taking a look at what being trauma-informed means, what it looks like in yoga classes, and why it's something that all fit pros should understand. Today's discussion is going to focus on yoga, but it applies across the fitness industry to all formats. Now, I teach trauma-informed yoga. I own a trauma-informed studio. I market my coaching and training as trauma-informed. I have hundreds of hours of training in the trauma-informed space and trauma release exercise as well. But it wasn't always so. I'll never forget my first trauma-informed training. I showed up on my mat, all fresh-faced and ready to learn how to help veterans overcome PTSD with yoga. Little did I know how my own deeply ingrained traumas had been affecting me. Little did I know how much work I needed to do on myself. Little did I know how misguided I had been about what trauma is, what it looks like, and what it takes to actually help other people with invisible injuries. The biggest learning I came away with from that training was really how unprepared I was to step into this world and how much work I had to do on myself. It was humbling to think about all the people who had come through my many, many classes and how easily I could have been re-traumatizing them without knowing it. I think that was the moment I realized I needed to take my training and my career a little bit more seriously. Leading an exercise class seems like a small, unimportant luxury. And for many fit pros, it is, quote unquote, just a side gig, a hobby that keeps them in shape or feeds their ego. But our students come into our classrooms and studios for all kinds of reasons that go beyond what the eyes can see. They bring their whole selves to us, and while it's not within our scope to do any kind of full mental health assessment, we barely do any kind of physical health intake, we do need to understand what that means for them. Now, in any kind of group fitness, yoga included, we have people sign all the appropriate waivers to participate. Those waivers are usually limited to the physical aspects of movement. We don't spend much, if any, time thinking about where people are mentally or emotionally in our classes. Now, I'm not a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist or doctor of any kind, really, but I know, and neuroscience backs this up, that we can and do affect the mind through our body, and that we can change the body through the mind and, of course, through the nervous system. There's a popular story out there about the Cherokee grandfather. I think it's Cherokee. I could be wrong about that. But the grandfather and the little boy, and he tells the little boy that inside of all of us, there are two wolves fighting. One is vicious and angry and full of malice and evil, and the other is peaceful, compassionate, courageous, and good. The little boy asks, "Which one wins?" And the grandfather answers, "The one you feed." This is the basis of what being trauma-informed is, if we think about it, because we can use trauma-informed tools to help bring those wolves into balance. We are literally feeding the good and pacifying the other guy. The way I see it is that being trauma-informed in yoga, or wellness for that matter, isn't about never triggering someone or never challenging your students. No, it's about having an understanding and awareness that we aren't only working out the body of our students. We're working the whole person. Everything we offer and how we offer it is going to affect the nervous system of our students in some way. And in fact, it's going to affect our own nervous systems in some way. Challenging the nervous system is part of how we build resilience through movement. It's how people get fit. And in the trauma-informed space, we are working on multiple sensory levels to purposefully rebuild that mind-body connection, the connection from the brain to our muscles, and establish a deeper sense of trust and confidence, and maybe peace, in our own skin. We use directed awareness through all of our sensory systems: visual, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and the somatosensory system, along with specific muscle activation, rest, and integration to literally re-educate and re-pattern our nervous system responses. All of it matters in a trauma-informed class. We can apply these things, though, these same approaches in pretty much any format, not only yoga. So what might that look like? Because the truth is, every yoga class isn't trauma-informed just because it's yoga. There has to be intention behind it. Well, first of all, it kind of depends a little bit on the students who are in front of us, and it definitely depends upon the instructor themselves. But there are a few differences that you might notice in a trauma-informed yoga class that maybe aren't in your typical studio space. And it definitely, of course, before I begin this list, it depends on the class itself, right? The class title. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Okay, so number one, in a trauma-informed yoga class, the lights might stay on. We may not lower the lights because we don't know. You know, that might be not a safe feeling for our students. And part of our holding space in a trauma-informed way is to be able to communicate with our students and check in and really ask for permission. How do they feel about lowering the lights or turning them off entirely? The answer to that might be no, and so our lights might stay on. There may or may not be aromatherapy offered. Sometimes smell can be a wonderful tool. It's a very powerful key, a pathway directly into the brain, and it can be very soothing, but it can also be very triggering. And so we may want to be careful about all of the beautiful essential oils that we bring in to our space. Again, communicating with our students. The room might be arranged a little differently. The doors might stay open, right? So if we're teaching in a more traditional gym setting, sometimes those group fitness rooms can be very closed in. But in a trauma-informed class, we may want to leave those doors open, leaving that exit path open. Typically, in trauma-informed yoga, we have very limited props, no straps. They can be, they can evoke being restricted or tied up or trapped in some way. And so that's something that sometimes is left out of yoga-informed yoga spaces. No hands-on adjustments. And that is a point of contention with a lot of yogis out there. Some of us are trained in hands-on adjustments, but the key here is that we always, always ask permission. And there are so many ways to communicate and teach and instruct before we get to the point where we would ever need to put our hands on someone. It just doesn't really make sense to keep that in any yoga class, in my opinion. I don't ever use hands-on adjustments ever, but for a trauma-informed space, it would be shocking to see hands-on adjustment in trauma-informed space. So we always want to ask permission if it's necessary, but rarely is it necessary. Another thing you may or may not see, the instructor may not be walking around the room. They may stay in one particular place for the simple reason that, we are in a vulnerable position. We're asking our students to be in a vulnerable position on their mats, and they may not be okay with having their personal space violated in any way. And if we do walk around the room, that as we approach people, that we approach them from the front rather than the back, and that permission is always asked when we are putting ourselves close to them. The pose selection in trauma-informed classes for yoga is much simpler. You will rarely see some kind of crazy pretzel knot inversion type poses selected in trauma-informed classes because that's not the purpose. Trauma-informed classes are not performative. They are much more focused on what the sensations are for the individual, for the student coming up. And while, again, it depends on the group of people that we are with, unless they have asked for something like that, some sort of an advanced asana, we are going to stick typically with very simple poses. We can learn a lot from the simplicity of our yoga postures. Students in yoga and in trauma-informed space are encouraged to change the pose to fit where they are in the body. So you can look around a room in a trauma-informed yoga space and everyone might be doing something different. There's a lot of permission granted there for some. I have people that come into my classes that do maybe half the class, maybe even only 20 minutes of the class with us, and then they rest in Shavasana or extended child. They are, this might be the only space where they get the chance to really listen to their body and to give it what it's asking for. And so that space is what we are holding for them. There are a lot of cues in trauma-informed classes that build awareness of the sensations in the body with encouragement to really let go of that judgment. There are a lot of options, variations, modifications that are given. Whether people take them or not, that's totally up to them. But it's less about following along with the instructor and more about creating your own experience and practicing with that freedom to make those different choices. Rest is encouraged, and rest is really key to most trauma-informed work. We rarely give the body the chance it needs to fully integrate some of the changes that we are bringing about in the brain and the body. And so there are always moments of rest, and we always have permission to rest throughout our practice. There's often some kind of guided meditation or yoga nidra, probably more likely to have a guided meditation than simply lying in silence at the end of class, simply because for many people who are coming to a trauma-informed practice, they often struggle with sleep, and yoga nidra is a powerful way to help guide people into that restful space without taking them out of their full consciousness. That's the first reason. But also, it's sometimes hard for people just to be quiet in their body, to be still and be with their own thoughts. That can be a scary place at first. And so guided meditation can kind of help ease that transition to being more easy in our own body. And the language that the instructor uses in a trauma-informed class may feel very different. We like to use more inclusive language. You probably have heard that on this podcast because I slip into this inclusive language speaking with the word we and let's and our and all of those things. And I use that specifically in my classes as well. It's an inclusive way to speak instead of being very directive in my approach. So the language is more inclusive. The focus is much more on the process of the movement. It's very action-oriented and really, really focused on simple awareness of what we are witnessing in the body instead of that very directed style of instruction that many instructors just grow up with in the more traditional studios. And then finally, the breath in yoga, in our trauma-informed yoga and really any trauma-informed format, the breath becomes a powerful tool. And it is a powerful tool. It is a key to our nervous system state. It's a way for us to change our nervous system state one way or the other, whether that means moving towards a more energetic, activating energy state, or moving towards a more calm state. There's a lot that we can practice with on the mat, and We need to do this with some intention for our people, whether we're in a yoga class or whether we're in, a kickboxing class, right? Because people can get out of breath, and then that can be associated with things like anxiety, right? And a panic attack. So being more aware of that as an instructor is going to make us more capable and more able to help our students to really find that balance, to refine it, really, to refine their own nervous system balance. So this list is definitely not exhaustive. You might be able to think of some other things that are really typical in a trauma-informed space, or maybe that stood out to you at some point or another. But this list is part, many of the things that I bring to my yoga classes. They can filter into other formats without too much hard thought. In fact, I teach a lot of different formats as well, including spinning classes, right? And I do bring some of these things into those spinning classes. I feel like all movement, any movement is yoga. And so if I'm going to be a trauma-informed instructor, it's going to be across the board. And frankly, that just helps me to kind of stay in that zone. I'd rather just stay there rather than having to switch back and forth for different populations. There are enough people in this world that carry some kind of trauma with them, that I find that this is better to have on the tip of my tongue rather than not, right? And to scramble to correct. I think the key here really to applying trauma-informed principles is to understand that the purpose here is to help people work with their body, literally with their body, to reach their goals. So much of the typical fitness world really reinforces kind of an adversarial relationship to our body. When culturally, we are already there. We're already fighting against what our body looks like, what our body feels like, what we think our body should do for us, all of those things. So it becomes about changing the body to fit some ideal. When in reality, we could be using our body and the keys it holds to help us change our experience in the world, literally changing our mind and our mental health, soothing those wolves that live in our limbic system. And our brain is set up to do that with the motor cortex and the somatosensory cortex living so close together in the brain. They are intimately connected to our stress response and the areas of the brain responsible for our sense of self. So we can use physical movement in mindful ways to really support a greater sense of health and well-being for our students. Anything that disturbs our nervous system, like an injury, stress, trauma, even humiliation, can affect our entire system and change the way we see the world. So the good news is that improving how we move through our world, literally how we move in it, building sensory awareness within the body, mindful movement, and intentional muscle activation, like what we do in trauma-informed yoga and in fitness, can recalibrate and repattern our nervous system response to stress. This can make us less reactive. It can alleviate chronic pain, improve symptoms of anxiety and depression, as well as improving our balance, mobility, strength, and proprioception. None of us are getting out of this life without some hits to the nervous system. And that is the number one reason why we in the fitness and wellness space need to take this piece of our training more seriously. People are coming to us for more than what the eyes can see. And we are offering more than just calories burned and inches lost. None of us go out meaning to hurt our students. This is supposed to be wellness, after all. We do this. We stepped into this space to help people in some way. Being more trauma-informed, both in and out of our classrooms, starts with ourselves. We can't hold space for anyone else until we do our own work. As uncomfortable as that might be, it's our personal experiences that make us uniquely qualified to serve others in a trauma-informed space. So don't just take the training and check the box. Your trauma journey will build your own self-awareness so that you can teach it. When you learn how to create and hold boundaries, you can model them. When you can connect with yourself and others, you'll be better able to hold a trauma-informed space for your students. And not only students, because the beauty of this work is that it filters out into every other part of your life for the better. Thanks for listening today. If you like what you heard and you want to learn more, head over to savagegracecoaching.com/the work in. There's some free resilience resources there. And of course, the show notes for this and other episodes of the Work In podcast. Thanks, everyone, and I'll see you next time.